Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Let's do it.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Colt Molesky, with Tom Schreier in studio, and there's some breaking news, some emergency podcast requiring news. Carmelo Anthony is officially out of New York. He has been traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder in a package that sent Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott to the New York Knicks with a future draft pick that has not been disclosed as of yet. And Carmelo Anthony is officially an Oklahoma City Thunder resident. What do you think, Tom? Do you like the move? Do you hate it? What are your thoughts?
An Oklahoma City resident. I think it's an Oklahoma City resident. I don't think he's going to live like in their training facility or something. Who knows?
I don't know. I think Hoodie Mello will.
Hoodie Mello may reside there. That is a very valid point. I have a brief, very related story to tell. I am grabbing today for people who may be out of state. It's the Tommy Johnny game. So this is University of St. Thomas, St. John's, played at Target Field. My friend Riles, who I'm sure I brought up on the podcast before, I'm sure Colt Molesky not only knows of but idolizes, because that is the right thing to do. So I'm my buddy Riles, one of my closest friends. He's going to the game, coming in from Minnetonka. He's like, I'm going to swing by your place because I live in the North Loop, not on the way to Target Field. It's about a 20-25 minute walk. So by the way, I'm at my parents' house. Like, this is after playing pickup basketball. I know this is Carmelo Day. I know this is Oklahoma City Day. I know we're going to talk about how this affects the Wolves. But as a selfish person, I do want to point out I'm very upset that after playing pickup, I do have a sore neck. I'm injured. I'm upset about it. But anyway, I'm at my parents' house, which is in Shoreview. And he's like, yeah, I'm at your apartment. So I had to cruise down to my apartment to see my friend. We go out for lunch. I get a text from Colton Molesky. I want everyone to understand the order of operations here. I get a text from Colton Molesky. Then, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to talk to you, Colton. I'm eating lunch with Riles. This is important. And my neck hurts. Anyways.
Your neck hurts.
I am grumpy right now because of my injured neck. Pick up wear and tear. But anyways, luckily, unlike Wiggins, I've already signed my $150 million contract. I'm not just taking my time. And then,
thank God,
you know, you got priorities. But anyways, then I get an alert being like, wait, Carmelo Anthony is being traded to the Thunder. Now, yesterday we talked about the potential of Carmelo Anthony going to Cleveland, going to Portland. I think we did not bring up Oklahoma City, right? Do you remember?
No, we talked about Portland and the Suns.
Yeah, and the Suns. The Suns was a sneaky one. Frankly, this is why Colt Molesky should be advisor to Mello, or at least Hoodie Mello, that that he you
Hoodie
know
Mello's my favorite.
You know, God, I love that Phoenix one. But anyways, point is, I see the news and I'm like, this is so messed up that Colt Molesky, the man who picks up his phone before it starts ringing, which is the scariest thing in the world, text me before ESPN alerts me that there's this trade. Colt Molesky, you know, look, I think you're the next Shams. I'm just saying, I think you're the next Woj. I think you're the next Shams. I'm saying it on this podcast. God, that was a crazy text.
I love it.
But anyways,
I love it so much.
I'm so upset at Mello for ruining my lunch with Riles, and he didn't care. He ended up just going to the game. But yeah, it was. Does this come as a shock to you? I mean, we'll talk about the implications for the Wolves because it's important how the team's constructed. But just generally speaking, is this a shock to you that it's Oklahoma City is where he's going?
It really is, because I really thought after acquiring Paul George, that was kind of the big move of the summer for them, and to be able to pull in two all-stars in one summer is just just so impressive. Words are failing me right now, how impressive it is for them to pull in two guys. I mean, we were all stunned by Kyrie Irving going to Boston, by Chris Paul headed to Houston, by Jimmy Butler going to the Timberwolves, and that's just one player. For them to be able to do this twice in one offseason is incredibly impressive. Hats off to their front office. And I thought it was incredibly sneaky that they signed Patterson over the summer from Toronto as kind of the sixth guy off the bench when they already had Enes Kanter. That was kind of the first move where you saw, oh, maybe they'll deal Kanter sometime later this summer, and they end up dealing him for Carmelo Anthony. Just what a terrific offseason for them, really going all in on this season right before Russell Westbrook and Paul George hit free agency.
I look at it this way. We talked a lot. We broke down the Cleveland situation a lot, and that's literally just because the by the way, if you want to go listen to that podcast, you can hear what we said about that. That's the first 15 minutes, but I made it clear. After those 15 minutes, we dove into media day, all that stuff. So there's a lot of Wolves-centric stuff on that last podcast yesterday. God, third day in a row? Is that right?
Yes, sir. Third day.
Third day in a row. Wow. We will be bringing this daily pretty damn soon here. But anyways, looking at the situation, you're completely right. It is impressive what they've done. It is kind of funny that, like, you know, the last thing the West needed was more talent. You know what I mean? At this point in the East, Colton, like, even with my bad neck, you and I might be jumping on the Knicks. We don't know. We don't know this yet, but it may happen. It, just from our, you know, I think anyone who's played a little pickup might, you know, have a shot to be on a roster there. But anyways, the point
I mean, after they were willing to pay Tim Hardaway Jr. 71
right.
for $70 million, right. I felt pretty confident I could make the team.
Right. No, yeah, such a NBA is, by the way, great offseason. It has become a year-round sport. Literally, there's nothing more crazy than the NBA right now. It is so much fun. But I want to make a comparison here. Oklahoma City, just puny, tiny market, right? And it's kind of like Cleveland in the sense that it by itself, it's probably not a destination. I think Oklahoma City, actually, its rep has gone up a lot. And from what I've heard, have not been, but from what I've heard from people who I know have been down there, really, really cool city. But, you know, look, it's kind of like Cleveland where you may lose Westbrook. We talked about this. You may lose Westbrook in the offseason. You want to keep him around long term. And why not? I mean, I don't know. We can get into how this team will function, and I'm not exactly sure how. You might have more insight than I do. But you have to go all out, right? Because it's kind of like with Cleveland. You got to make the best of it. Because who knows, Westbrook, Paul George, maybe, and LeBron are all in LA, and the teams they'd be departing need to make sure that they, you know, have one final push before that would happen.
Well, and I just love the move because they really haven't sacrificed anything on defense, right, to get all this offensive talent. You think about the Cleveland Cavaliers when they were going to from defense to offense, they kind of sacrificed some big guys down low and some defensive-minded guards. If you think about the Celtics, they've really committed to the offensive push and lost some defenders. You think about Jay Crowder going to the Celtics, to the Cavaliers is a defensive guy that they lose. But the Thunder have really done a good job of making sure that they keep building on the offensive side of the ball, but their defense might be better than it was last year. They kept Andre Roberson around. They have Steven Adams on the team. Patrick Patterson is a guy they picked up who can be a six man wing on the floor, who's going to be a really long guy that's really going to jam up passing lanes. And then on the offensive side, you've got Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony. Those are probably two of maybe the top 5 or 10 best isolation basketball players on offense in the game. Don't you think that this could be one of those situations where they just played it perfectly so that they don't sacrifice anything major on either side?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, we talked about it on Wolves Wired, which we recorded right before this. Colton Molesky, very patient individual, very, very patient individual. We thank you, Colton, as a representative of Wolves Wired. And we got into a whole bunch of stuff with that. But anyways, I think at the very least this will put butts in the seats, right? This gives people a reason if you're really upset about Durant, and if you're just really upset about the general Durant, Harden, Westbrook situation, you know, this is a reason to, you know, not give up your season tickets or to come out to the stadium. And So I think it will be exciting. I think Billy Donovan's a good coach, and that comes a lot from just we talked to all the away coaches, and he is very well spoken. I know he's pretty well regarded in NBA circles. I don't know if it makes a ton of sense, but I think it will be fun, and I don't know how much you gave up. I think it's more just a chemistry. The stuff the Wolves are finding out now, although for Wolves fans, you got to be very thankful that this is actually very well thought out and kind of makes some sense. This is more kind of thrown together, and you got to make adjustments. Does that make sense? The difference makes sense to you?
Well, yeah, you're right. And for comparisons from the Wolves to the Thunder, you are dealing with bigger egos, right? We talk about all the time how the Wolves have these guys who are kind of selfless and willing to let another guy have a big night, whereas you think about Anthony or you think about Westbrook, those are guys who really need to have the basketball to be really, really effective. And I think there are ways you can work Carmelo Anthony into the offense without him handling the ball necessarily. But for most of his time with New York, he was the guy who was bringing the ball down the court, and that's the way he was been most effective in New York. So there is a little bit of an interesting aspect where you have to kind of try and figure out how to pair these guys together on offense. But I think, honestly, when you're playing for just – assuming that they're playing for just 1 year and they really think George and Westbrook are gone after this year, this is a pretty smart move to just try and go all in on this year and really give the Warriors and the Rockets a run for their money. I mean, I'm a gambler, but I'm all in on the double down that the Thunder are making for this season.
Let's talk about this broadly. First of all, nothing makes more sense than the Oklahoma City Thunder – the Oklahoma City Thunder being in the Northwest Division, because that's exactly where they are on the map, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm joking, but, like, what a weird division that, you know, we talked about for years. First of all, why are the Wolves here? You know, like, what are they doing, you know, with... I don't even... because I get so upset about this, how the NBA needs to kind of just reconfigure, but... forever, you really couldn't establish rivalries because there are similarities between Portland, Seattle, and Minnesota. But now with Seattle moving down to Oklahoma City, that becomes a really big stretch. And I just now I think it's weird as much as they kind of need to break this up and change East Coast and West Coast being in balance and just kind of put teams together. That would make logical sense. There's going to have to be rivalries this year, right? Denver, we talked about maybe pinpointing a weakness of the Wolves with their size. Now Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, going all in to kind of keep Westbrook around. And then, you know, Portland, I think, kind of a really weird messed up team. They're probably most upset. Are they the most upset before I get into this? Are they most upset about this deal? It seems like Carmelo obviously could have given him a boost.
I don't know about most upset. I think any team trying to rebuild, if you're the Nuggets or the Wolves, maybe the most upset teams, right?
Because
this is a crazy gauntlet that they have to run through in the West now.
That's what I'm getting at.
To make the playoffs.
That's what and not just we focus so much on the West. That's what came up at Media Day yesterday before this went down. But just your own division now. I mean, it's incredible.
We've talked so much about the kind of rush of talent to the West, but now really, if you're looking at the East and you're a free agent next summer, how tantalizing is it to go over to the East now? Because there really is only three teams, really, that could make a contested effort to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? I mean, Toronto isn't getting to the Conference Finals, are they?
I don't think so. I mean, is it for you, it's Boston, Cleveland, Washington?
Yeah, that's what it is for me.
Yeah.
And in the West, you've got so many good teams. I mean, the seventh and eighth spots in the playoffs are going to be hotly contested this season.
Yeah, I mean, so at the end of the day, it's going to matter how they rank up against the West. By the way, Tim Fakeless, I think, was saying Curry on the Jump said that it was Houston, San Antonio, and Minnesota were the big three that they're going to have to compete against, which I thought was interesting. Did you see that? I think Tim tweeted that out. But now, I mean, now if you're Minnesota, it's almost like any other sport where you have to think division first, then how you fit in the West. Because this is going to matter how they match up against Portland, against Denver, now Oklahoma City, and I'm completely blanking on the other team. But, you know, like they now the division really is kind of stacked up, and I think Oklahoma City is probably and then the Utah Jazz. You know what I mean? Oklahoma City probably will come out of the gates a little slow because they're just kind of throwing this all together. But I don't know. In my opinion, I mean, you got to take every maybe outside of maybe Portland, but they still have talent. You got to take everyone seriously, right?
Absolutely. And I was talking too when the schedule came out. I wrote an article. It's on Zone Coverage about kind of the top games, especially in that first month for the Timberwolves, how they face San Antonio, OKC, and that's how you kind of figure out right away what kind of team we have on our hands here in the Wolves. Now, yeah. Especially now that the Thunder look this good, now you really figure out what kind of basketball team you have if you're Tom Thibodeau right away in that first month, because they're playing some really tough teams in that first month of basketball.
Yeah, no, and I don't think this is a bad thing. This will keep the you expected, but I like that Tibbs kind of came out and said, look, there aren't nights off, and especially now where there really shouldn't, there probably still will be, but there should be less scheduling losses. I mean, this is just really what the Wolves have to do is beat up on these bad Eastern teams whenever the Eastern Conference teams when they can, and then they just really have to, you know, and you know Tibbs will do this, but really study the film and think through, like, how do we do, it's a different challenge in this division, and how do we establish ourselves as the team to beat? Because, you know, I think Denver's kind of pinpointing a weakness that they may have. I'm not incredibly worried about them, but you do worry about that aspect of it. You know, you got to take Utah pretty seriously. If they had Gordon Hayward, man, that'd be a really, really tough team. And now Oklahoma City, where when Durant left, you go, oh, all right, they kind of get a break there. That's no longer the case. I don't know. You're right. We're going to learn a lot about this team really early, and they can't get down on themselves if they lose to one because you might have the other one right around the corner.
Absolutely. And two, if you're looking at stretches, road stretches, I think there's a stretch in that first month and a half where they have like a three-game road trip or something like that. You really cannot take any of those games off. You see teams go 2-for-1 in those kind of stretches of away road trips. You really can't take any of those off because you're going to have teams breathing down your neck this entire season. This is going to be a tough gauntlet for the Timberwolves because there's a lot of good teams, and there's a lot of teams that you just don't really know. I mean, the Clippers, you think they maybe take a step back because they lose Chris Paul, but they get all that talent. They get Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley, and they keep Blake Griffin. So their team that you don't know, maybe they come back and they're really good because
right.
Blake Griffin
You're right.
is healthy. Like, there's so many variables now in the West, and it's so jam-packed with talent. It's the Wolves, you don't want to judge them too quickly based on how they come out of the gate in that first month because
yeah,
they don't
right.
play together. But at the same time, there's not much room for error on as far as a growing process because you do have to come out strong pretty quickly if you want to stay in this race. I mean, if you start out 3-7 and these other teams are starting out even at 500, you're already kind of behind the ropes.
No, you're right. I the first, you know, 10 games are going to be super interesting. I also think a big test for this team will be, we understand who's kind of mentoring who, what the ex-Bull players bring. You know, we understand a lot of things after media day and just in general looking at the roster construction about the Wolves. What I want to know is how did they bounce back from a loss? Because it really, really can snowball. To your point, the West is so stacked, and because these teams are in your division, you're not getting a break, really, with whoever you're playing against.
Absolutely. And the other thing, too, is if you're trying to do new stuff, we talked about – or Tom Thibodeau and multiple players, I know Carl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, they were talking about the team trying new things and different paced things on defense and on offense. You got to wonder how long the experimentation side of this takes for just from a schematic standpoint for this team and how long they're willing to try different things and experiment when you're playing such good teams night in and night out and you're competing with such good teams for playoff spots from a very pretty early on in the season. Like, how long are you going to be able to try different things as a squad?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I definitely think they're going to have to figure out, you know, we talked about this a little bit on Wolves Wire, just kind of how you create a system and hopefully the instinct kicks in, but that's going to use tinkering. I just, everyone needs to not overreact to a loss, because there just are going to be nights where you just get beat, whether it's you're tired, whether, you know, now if Wiggins isn't going off, maybe Butler covers for him or whatever, vice versa, but maybe, you know, Wiggins has an uncharacteristically bad game, or Teague's still figuring out where these guys want the ball. So it definitely creates pressure there. You just don't have a lot of time, especially with how much the Wolves, the expectations for them, and given that they don't have a lot of equity, right, with the fans, because they've been so yep. bad for so long. Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of pressure right away. If anyone really can handle that, I think it's Tibbs, who probably is overexpressive and a little, you know, he's just great. We joked about him spontaneously combusting, I think, on the last show. But like, you know, so we know that. But look, he's been in Chicago before. At the time, Derrick Rose couldn't have been more popular as the local guy, and kind of the local guy made good. I don't think this is going to faze him. They call it the Madhouse on Madison. You look at how high that is and how many fans they pack in there. I mean, I don't think he's going to faze. Are you worried about this? I'm not worried from a management coaching perspective. I am a little bit concerned just from a, you know, here we go again, player, you know, reaction to this.
I'm not so much as worried as excited about it, just because I think they are still really believe and buy into this team as a really good team. And so for them to have a good season at this age with this kind of Western Conference, I think that says so much more about this team and where they are in their growth and their development, as opposed to maybe 4 years ago in the West, even, you know. And so as this team gets older and plays more seasons, they're obviously going to get better. So if they can have a good season right now with all the talent that just flooded into the West, I think that says about a lot about this team, and I think it's going to happen too. I really do think they have a great shot. As far as the Thunder, I think you had them as your third or fourth best team in the West, kind of mid-summer. Where do you have them now? Does this come out?
Third or fourth best team in the division, right? The Thunder?
Fourth best team in their division? Oh my goodness.
No. I mean, where did I'm trying to remember. I think it's funny that you remember more than I do of what I said. You said I had the Thunder as the third or fourth best team in the West.
In the conference.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I'm just to go through it all. To me, it's Golden State, San Antonio or Houston. And then, I mean, man, it's tough. I mean, you think the Thunder is right there at number four?
I know I'm going to eat these words because San Antonio is San Antonio, but do you think they bumped down to fourth? Just because I know Greg Popovich is a basketball genius, but they really have not added anything new or necessarily of much talent around Kawhi from last season to this season.
Yeah.
And just guys who have been good for them just keep getting older. They keep these guys around who are kind of just role players and not really all-stars, and it's just Kawhi. It's just hard for me to imagine them bumping down, but at the same time, I really don't know how they compete with a team like the Thunder or the Rockets over 82 games. There's just so much talent on both those rosters now. There's got to be a way where they kind of supersede them in the rankings. But maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit too much on these all-star signings.
Here's a weird, this is not the answer that people want, and we want to give the people what they want. But just, if you excuse me real quick, here's the thing. First of all, the best thing about this is we can speculate all we want. The best thing, especially in basketball, where things seem really clean cut all the time. There's just so many variables. You're talking about San Antonio and their age and what they've done around their team. You know, even with Pop and all that, Kawhi Leonard. I'm looking at it this way. I think the Thunder are like either really going to work out like spectacularly well. Like, again, I'm not challenging Golden State, but, you know, competing with the Houston, you know, kind of for that second spot in the West, or it may be just a catastrophic failure. Like, they just don't figure out how to play together. Maybe the early losses kind of get inside their heads. And maybe it's just Paul George and Russell Westbrook and really Carmelo are all looking at in different directions, you know, a couple, you know, 25 games in the season. So, yeah, I if I had them at fourth, maybe, I mean, God, yeah, that sounds about right. Maybe they don't move, but I could also see that, you know, this actually is trouble for the Wolves, that if they move into that second, third slot, then you're playing San Antonio. If you get up to the fifth seed, and that's, you know, there's still value. You talked about the Clippers. You talked about, you know, if the Jazz really, really reach the potential, you know, all this stuff. Man, isn't that a tough matchup, though? You're going into San Antonio, game one of the playoff series. If the Wolves, like, kind of max out, and even if they get to the four seed, I mean, I don't think they're getting ahead of San Antonio, but, man, isn't that tough? That's just a tough first-round matchup. That's not who you
want to
play.
I really don't want to play the Thunder or the Rockets in the first round, but San Antonio may be the worst-case scenario for a first trip, as if you're Towns or Wiggins, your first trip into the playoffs against Popovich, that might be the worst case scenario.
I would much, you know, you're saying, yeah, that's worst case scenario. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm much would rather play Houston. Yeah, and I'd rather play the Thunder. I mean, I think here's the thing, is that any dysfunction that could possibly happen would happen in the playoffs, where they're just studying each other and where the players, you know, are feeling the pressure of it's win or go home, right? So it maybe that's where tension rises with Chris Paul and Harden, and maybe that's where tension rises between, you know, Westbrook and Melo or something, right? I mean, that's when that would happen. So you'd much rather have that than, you know, the Spurs aren't going to have that. The Spurs are a no nonsense. You know, they're the ideal. They're, you know, Golden State took what they did and go, hey, let's do this with better players, right? So, man, God, it's a good thing for the Wolves, because I think they're a team that is very talented and easily could just kind of check out if there's not enough, you know, kind of not enough roadblocks in their way.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that of all the teams, I still feel like the Rockets are the ones primed to have the most issues in just how their superstars click on the same roster, just because I really feel like Paul George and Carmelo Anthony are at a spot, because of what's happened over the last couple of years, where they just really all want to win basketball games, whereas I really, really think that James Harden and Chris Paul really want to control basketball games more than win them, honestly. And I know that sounds terrible to say about all-stars, but they just, so much of the game is predicated and dependent on them being the primary ball handler. And I know that there's all these ways that they can stagger minutes and that they can work together. And James Harden has been in a place where he's been the sixth man. He's been just more of a pure shooter as opposed to a ball handler. But the more you dig into the numbers, and I've done articles on these guys and that trade, and the more I look at it, the more I just think, oh, that's the team that's primed for have a chaotic season because of their free agent signings, as opposed to any of these others.
I come away with this and I say, look, the Wolves have a lot to work on. Teague's got to figure out where those guys want the ball. You got to figure out kind of pecking order with Wiggins, with Butler, just kind of, you know, sharing the ball then with Towns as well, and kind of bench roles and all this. All that said, man, I'd rather have the Wolves' problems than I would, you know, potentially Houston's, potentially the Thunder's. You know, they're not obviously quite where San Antonio, Golden State is, and maybe that's where, if you are dead set on putting San Antonio number two, it's that they're organized, they're well coached, they're not going to have kind of these, you know, new guy problems, whatever. But man, I mean, it's, yeah, it's nuts. And I just, going back to this, I just don't, we're talking a lot about the Thunder, obviously, because of the news, but I would not sleep on Utah. I would not sleep on Denver, even Portland's a weirdly constructed all this, but on any given night, those guys can go off. So, man, that division is crazy now.
It really is. So I did want to talk about the Steph Curry and the White House situation real quickly. Just wanted to remind our listeners, SeatGeek, download the app to get into all of your favorite sporting events, your live concerts, anywhere where you need to purchase a seat, use SeatGeek and use our LOMBA promo code to get $20 off your first purchase. LOMBA promo code, get $20 off your first purchase. Make a good deal a great deal by using SeatGeek. And I wanted to move on to the White House situation. Steph Curry and the Warriors declined to go to the White House. Every championship team typically goes to the White House, and they have declined that option. And then President Trump has come out by saying that he's rescinding the invitation after they declined it. What are your quick thoughts on this?
I'm going to start with this. This is the cheapo way out, but it is informative, and I like to inform the people. I've also used the cheapo way out twice. But this is Tom Thibodeau's quote. This is hot off the Twitter press from Jace Frederick, just the man. He covers the Wolves for the Pioneer Press. This is Tibbs. That sounds more like children's play to me. I'll leave it to them. But there's a lot more things we need to worry about than Steph Curry saying he doesn't want to go to the White House. Very, very Tom Thibodeau way to answer that, although I like he just calls it all out. To me, I mean, I think it's just I really respect these guys that they'll go out and use their platform to kind of address issues in society. I'm not a stick to sports guy. I'm someone that I think there's also bigger things, but also just I think it's important to be informed as an individual and to understand what's going on here. So yeah, not a great look for the White House. I do like that. I also saw the PR statement that came across Twitter from the Warriors. I think they handled it really well. I come away with this more than anything with respect for the Warriors. Again, I'm biased. I went to college out in the Bay Area. I know some people who are diehard Warriors fans who like that team well before they became what they are now. But even as they have more and more success and they become the class of the league, they're emulating the San Antonio Spurs, not just in how they play on the court, but how they act off of it. And I really just, I just look at it and I say, look, it's great that this team is good. And, you know, it is the best team in the league and is the, in every way possible, kind of a lot of teams looking up to them. I like this. I don't like these dirty, you know, kind of rivalries where you just feel bad after the game. You know, if the Wolves beat them, that's great. If they don't, you go, look, that's a great team and they really run it professionally. And I do like Tibbs coming out and saying something like that, not kind of beating around it. It was, again, a very on-brand statement from Tom Thibodeau.
Well, I am the swindler.
I am
the gambler, and I love a good old-fashioned dirty rivalry. And
yeah, of course you do.
The people hate my takes on the most part. So I'm going to go with a little bit of an opposite take from you. I'm going to say
interesting.
Because the Warriors released the statement that they're going to go to D.C. anyways just to go, but they're not going to go to the White House, this has become probably the pissing contest with the largest stage, I think. It's just one group of guys trying to be bigger than the other group of guys, and it all seems a little bit unnecessary to me. I know that you have to stand for and freedom of speech, and you can believe in what she wants to believe in. It's a free country, obviously, but they've turned this from making a stand to a little bit of a pissing contest. Both sides are at fault, and that's my takeaway from it. Go ahead and yell at me on Twitter about it because I know it's going to come. But that's my take, guys. One of the biggest scale pissing contests in the NBA.
We stuffed this way back. This is in like the 33rd minute, right before we kind of close out here, just to save Colton a little bit of grief. But yeah, I'm sure the people will get after you. Certainly, obviously, you like to hear both sides. And I think at the end of the day, I know you're eating this up because there's something to gamble on here. You know there is.
Always an angle for a bet. Always an angle for a juicy line.
No, that's fun stuff. Is there anything else? We have literally, I'm not even kidding. The computer's on fire here. The board is on fire. There's been a lot of hot takes, a lot of stuff going on in the podcast today.
That's all we roll. Just as always, excited for the season. Anything else you want to add? Anything else on zone coverage that people should know about?
No, I'll second that. Really, really excited for the season. Just looking at the homepage real quick. Obviously, the Vikings have that big game coming up. We got that pretty well covered. But Colton on
top with a great story on how the Vikings should cover Mike Evans. By the way,
yep, exactly. But yeah, you had the breaking news on Carmelo Anthony headed to the Thunder. We got Molesky's Weekend Wagers. We all know every degenerate's reading that. And then I have my immediate takeaways from Minnesota Timberwolves Media Day. If you want to get away from the more serious topics in the NBA right now, this is just some fun stuff. And I try to, you know, give you kind of the gist of what happened there. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff there, and we'll continue to cover it. Colton, I believe, will have something coming out pretty soon on zone coverage, Wolves related. Timmy is going to do some more stuff from Media Day, and then I think I'm going to break down something with the division and just kind of how hectic things will be for the Minnesota Timberwolves. That is a good thing. We always like, especially, maybe not Colton the gambler who wants more certainty, but the uncertainty I think is good for the Wolves and for the NBA.
Sneak peek for my article that I have on the Timberwolves. I have a tweet from Tom Schreier embedded in my article. So check that out for sure, if not only for that reason.
Oh, that is, I mean, literally, and I'm not saying my tweets are gold. I'm not saying I'm the biggest influencer in the world. But anytime a person puts my tweets in an article, I will tell you this, it will blow up. You will see numbers like you have never seen before.
That's really what I'm going for here. Alrighty, so this has been Colt Molesky, your host, with Tom Schreier. And this has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.